The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, the topic for this week is what in Pali is called citta sankhara, C-I-T-T-A, S-A-N-K-H-A-R-A, and it's often translated as mental formations, sometimes mental dispositions, sometimes mental constructs. For this week, I kind of been using the expression mental activities, and it's those activities of the mind which are planning, creating, imagining, actively thinking about things. So a simple perception of something, seeing a wall across the hall, the room here, that wouldn't necessarily be called an activity. That's just it is an activity, but it's not a one of the formations or constructions that we make. And what's fascinating, the number of things that are fascinating about this idea of mental formations, mental constructions, sankharas, and is that one is that many things that we take to be kind of inherent or just the way things are turn out to be an activity of the mind. And so to give you one example, boredom. When we're bored, it can feel like just the thing that we're doing is boring, just the event, the situation is boring, it is boring. But in fact, it's the mind's activity that creates the feeling, the sense of boredom. It's a kind of maybe even a subliminal judgment, evaluation. It's a holding oneself apart from experience. It's can be a resistance. It can be a loss of intimacy with experience. There's all these things going on in the mind that construct, that activate this feeling, the idea of boredom. And the idea that we're constructing it, we're kind of forming it, making it in the mind, gives us a very different orientation to boredom than if the situation is boredom. Because if the situation is boredom, the situation is to blame. And so, you know, we better just get away or change it. But if we're responsible because it's an activity of the mind, then we can practice with it. And that's one of the things we learn through meditation, is how to practice with these mental formations, these mental activities, so that we're not caught in them and not pulled around by the nose by them. But we learn how to settle them or become more expansive of them or freer of them, free of them even when they're there. So with boredom, one would turn around the attention 180 degrees from the situation that's boring, whatever it might be, it's internal or external, and have the attention really look at the boredom itself and look it right in the eye and say, boredom, I see you, and feel it and be with it and experience it. And to learn how to kind of dissipate the boredom because we really see it clearly is very empowering, because it shows us that we don't have to be the victim of our own mental activities. And that's one of the great good news of this Buddhist teaching, is that so much of our suffering has a relationship to the activity of our mind. And whereas we can't necessarily change always the situation in the world, we can have some care and attention to shifting how the mind is constructing these ideas and concepts and even constructing ideas of self that we have. So it's a phenomenally good news if we have the mindfulness and attention, stability, to really see how this works. And so mental activities, to really see it that way and learning to tranquilize it, calm them, relax them. And now this tranquil mind is considered in the Buddhist tradition to be a beautiful quality. So tranquilizing the mind is not just becoming numb, it's not becoming numb at all. It's not becoming kind of less than. It actually begins tapping into something that's really wondrous, amazing about what's available inside that can arise with this idea of a mind that's very tranquil, clean, transparent, smooth, easy. And this points to one of the problems, in the English language, translating the word sankhara as formations or even as activities, because some of those are just uninspired. Mental formations is like, what is that? And it's kind of uninspired translation. Mental activities maybe means a little bit more, but I don't think it has too much inspiration value in it. I believe that in the ancient Indian context, the word sankhara that we're translating as formations had very positive associations. And one of the early Indian associations was it's a word that was used in the pre-Buddhist Brahmanical traditions to describe sacred rituals. And in fact, sankhara sometimes it means to make something sacred. That's what the dictionary definition sometimes has. And so this idea of something sacred, a ritual which is maybe for some people very heartwarming and a deep connection, has a very different idea than just, you know, mental activities. Because this mental activities of the mind, it's the quality of the mind that makes things and prepares things or constructs kind of our sense of self and universe and ideas and all that. But as that gets quieter, that movement of activity, mental activities, can have a quality of sacredness, reverence, wonder, but also my favorite word is beauty, which is a translation of a word in Pali, kalyana, that is often translated as good. And one of the places where it's translated as good is in discussions about karma. Karma means action, and the primary action that we're dealing with in meditation is the mental action, so the mental karma. Sometimes it's translated that there's two kinds of karma. There's good karma and bad karma. But the word for good is kalyana, which its primary meaning is beautiful. And you get a very different feeling about actions if you refer to them as being either beautiful or not beautiful. And so this idea that we can have the potential in the mind or having the mental activity become beautiful is much more inspiring than simply calming the mental formations or experiencing the mental formations. So the mental formations, the seven steps of anapanasati, breathing in, experiencing the mental formations, mental activity, breathing out, experiencing mental activity, happens after experiencing some modicum of joy, well-being, and happiness in meditation. And that's important to remember, that all these things are situational, it's contextual, these steps of meditation. And we're not supposed to be in a hurry to get past it. And if you hear instructions that you're not there yet, just take it in and file it away for the future. No need to feel bad that you're not there. We're all going to be cycling through these 16 steps and be at different stages at different days, different minutes, different weeks, because of what's happening in our life and all kinds of situations. So the 16 steps are always, it's kind of good to think that we're always beginning at step one. And not be in a hurry, not feel like you have to always be following these steps that I'm going through. I'm going through it linearly, but the trap of that is assume that you're supposed to be right coming along. And I'm trying my best to kind of make it come alive for you, but kind of trust where you are. And that trusting where you are is part of the beauty that we're developing in this practice. That trust, appreciation, reverence, care, love for oneself, that I can just be where I am and practice there and trust that this process will unfold. This Anapanasati process is a natural process in its own way will unfold for you. No need to be in a rush or hurry through it. And so this trust is part of the beauty of the mind. And so rather than seeing mental activity, mental formations as neutral, uninspired, kind of, you know, just stuff in the mind, we're touching into a capacity of the mind to be beautiful, to be wondrous, to be something that maybe borders on or feels sacred. And this is the great value of this practice, is to really discover a rich, wondrous, beautiful inner life that really can then inform how we live in the world. I like to think that as we discover this wondrous inner life, we get turned inside out, and what was inside is no longer inside, but something that that we share with the world around us. So mental formations. So as we continue next week, maybe you'll keep this in mind, that we're working with a capacity we have for inner beauty and inner something that's wondrous, that lives in us for sure. Even though some of your mental activities that you're living by and kind of are, you're caught in the grip of, and you don't even know you're in the grip of some of these mental activities, might be standing in the way for now of seeing how wondrous it is on the inside for you, the beauty that you have. So thank you for today, and I look forward to continuing next week.